Brett, it's really good to be back. It's been a while. How are you?
Good. And this is another episode of Float Your Boat.
Welcome back, listeners. It's been a bit of a layover for us, hasn't it, Brett? But we're back.
Well, we recorded the first two episodes of season 7 before we finished season 6. So today's first episode is the first episode we've recorded in the new year. So happy new year, everybody.
Happy new year. And aren't we glad to put 2020 behind us?
Absolutely. But let's hope 2021 is a better year. It's the year of the ox, since it's Chinese New Year next week, I think.
Well, last year was the year of the COVID. In some countries, it still is, so it's really unfortunate. However, over here, things have settled down a fair bit, which is great for us, isn't it?
It certainly is, because I think people are really struggling. And, I mean, you know, look, we're in the lucky country, aren't we, really?
That's right, and it segues into our next interview, because we're having Maria Augustus Dunn back again for a second time to talk to us about her latest book, but she's a travelling Wilbury, a grey nomad, for want of a better description, and they've been locked away in Queensland, not really moving much because of interstate COVID restrictions, and it's been hard on a lot of people.
You know, I think what strikes me about Maria and her hubby is that they're living their dreams and their happy place by, you know, doing what they really love to do, and that is traveling around the country.
Yeah, you know, it's made me wonder over the years that we evolved as hunters and gatherers, and there's some people that still eschew the modern life and the modern way of living. Some people who voluntarily live a homeless life and a vagabond life because they're just not obsessed with obsessions, things, and they just want to feel free. And I would have to put the grey nomads in that category of people like Maria and her husband who just keep traveling.
You like traveling in the great outdoors and being by yourself out in the bush, etc. So you've got a bit of that in you.
I do. It's something that my family don't understand it as much. But one of the things that I point to is that if it wasn't so ingrained in human beings and part of our DNA, why is it that people first chance they get go off to parks and go for walks around a park, and they want to be close to greenery, they want to be close to nature, they just do, and they don't even realize. So are we meant to live a life in overcrowded cities and put up with the infrastructure that humanity has created, or are we more in tune with the kind of lifestyle that Maria and her husband have chosen to live?
Well, it's probably been the human condition to create this world that we live in right now, and it's probably a bit unfortunate because people are really unhappy,
Yeah.
I find that more and more, and as you know, we see this more and more, even with our stories. We're all about inspirational stories. We get a lot of people that are doing social good type businesses, like the Banksia Project, which is about depression for men, and we've got another lady today called Lucy Good who does Beanstalk Mums, which is about helping divorced mums and cope with life. And we've done Mr. Avi. You met Mr. Avi. Where did you meet Mr. Avi? At a men's kumbaya woo-woo thing out in the bush. So I think everybody's looking for other things. And yes, of course, the grass is always greener, for want of a better term, but you really do have to try and follow your dreams, because we're only here for a short time.
That's unbelievable. days, I was getting out of darkness.
Welcome to the Float Your Boat podcast about how everyday people created their road to success. The highs, the lows, pitfalls and potholes, and how they overcame it all. And now, here are your hosts.
So, Maria Augustus Dunn, welcome back to our show.
Thanks for having me, George and Brett. Great to see you guys and great to talk to you.
Now, our listeners can't actually see you, but you're sporting a mighty fine military-style haircut.
Yes. I've had a number one, I think it is, for years now.
Yeah, that's obviously a good way to maintain your hair whilst travelling. Yes, and you're still on the road.
We are still on the road. We've just gone into our 10th year on the road as full-time travellers.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So, yes, having a haircut like this is so much easier to maintain.
Now, our listeners want to know why you're back. Well, you're back because you've just written a new book. I don't know how you find the time, but you've done that. Tell us a little bit about it.
So my second book was released just before Christmas, and it's called Dunna Runner, A Retirement Done Right, because our surname's Dunn, so a little play on words there.
Very clever. So
Dunna Runner follows our first 5 years on the road as full-time travellers. So my previous book, Married Quarter, was about life as a military spouse, and that finished with us retiring in 2011 for life on the road. Dunna Runner picks it up from that point and follows our first five years of travelling around Australia. So it finishes at the end of 2016.
I've had a few Dunny Runners, but not a Dunna Runner. But... just for the listeners who mightn't have heard your episode, because we're going back a couple of years now.
That's right.
Just tell us a 5-sentence synopsis of your last book.
So my previous book is called Married Quarter. That was released in 2017, and it's about what it's like to be married to a frontline soldier. My husband Brad served in the Australian Army for 33 years, a few deployments under his belt. So the book's about what it's like for spouses and families having to pick up and start up every couple of years and move around Australia and overseas. So it follows our military life, and it's about what life is like on our side of the fence, if you like.
Well, you obviously got used to living out of a suitcase because you're still doing it.
We are, yeah. So to go from military life of moving around to the life of a full-time traveller wasn't a big leap for us. Mm. It was actually quite easy transition. We say that we used to move every 3 years. Now we move every 3 weeks.
Well, let's talk about Brad for a minute. So he was a frontline soldier, but, what's he like?
He's delightful.
Oh, wow. That's coming from the wife.
He is the love of my life. Yeah, he is the most lovely man. And even though he was a big army guy, big, loud, booming voice, he's just a gentle giant.
Aren't they all?
Well, it's good. No. What do they say? A good man's hard to find. And there's a good woman behind every man. So yep. Sounds like you're the perfect couple.
Yeah, well, behind every soldier is a strong partner. You can't have that life and that career without good support at home. So we're a good team. We make a good team.
You know, Maria, there was a movie called I think Once Were Warriors or no no Once not Once Were Warriors. We Were Young Once and anyway, Mel Gibson starred in the movie, but the most emotional side of that movie were the wives not knowing where their husbands were whilst they were on deployment, and they were getting together and having tea parties and keeping each other company and just reassuring each other that the men would come back. Was that the kind of experience that you had?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The support I had from not only from the from the military. I had great support, always had great support from the military, but also fellow spouses and families. We are like a big family. We look out for each other. And we support each other, particularly when our partners are deployed, and you know, often they're gone for long periods of time. So that's really, really important.
But you were obviously very close during those years, and now that you're on the road in your camper van, your RV, whatever it might be, do you still keep up the camaraderie, the connections, the relationships, or have people just drifted away?
No, we still keep up the relationships and the friendships. In fact, we're having lunch with military friends today. The beauty of military friends is that you just pick up where you leave off. So it might be 5 years in between seeing each other, but when we see each other, we just pick up where we leave off, and there's never that awkwardness, you know. There's never that ice-breaking period of time. You just we just pick up where we leave off, because we share something that not a lot of other industries or workplaces share. So we have this lovely commonality, and we catch up with all our military friends all around Australia, everywhere we go.
So where are you right now?
So right now we are in Toowoomba, and I am in my caravan talking to you. So we've been in Queensland since December 2019.
Well, you haven't found a way out.
Well, because of COVID, it was easier to stay in the state.
Yeah. Okay. So you didn't want to be quarantined.
No. So we've been in far north Queensland all year. We came south about November. Currently we're in Toowoomba. So we're finally going to leave the state probably in the next couple of weeks and start heading down towards New South Wales and Victoria to see my family, because I haven't seen my family for a long time.
Imagine.
Oh, how the world has changed, hey, Maria, since the last time we spoke to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's been really, really tough for full-time travellers because when everything closed down last year in March, campgrounds and caravan parks closed down as well. So a lot of the full-time travellers were just stranded on the side of the road with nowhere to go.
Now, Maria, we haven't had an opportunity to read your book because, we didn't get a copy. But I suppose we'll go out and get one when it comes out. But tell us a little bit about it without giving too much away. Like, is it humorous? Is it serious? Tell us a little bit more. Yeah.
So Dunna Runner, just a plug for my publisher, was released by is published by Indie Mosh. An Australian company. It is available on Amazon and through Indie Mosh's website in paperback and audiobook. E-book. It is about what it's like to give up all your security and live on the road full time. So what it's like to have no fixed address. It talks about a lot of the things we get asked about living on the road. What do you do with your mail? What do you do if one of you gets sick? What did you do with all your stuff? What do you do if something catastrophic happens to our tow vehicle or the caravan? But it follows our first 5 years all around Australia. Follows my own personal travel diaries as well. It addresses all the issues that we face, but it is humorous. It's got a lot of humour in it and a lot of retold funny stories, things that we come up against on the road, you know, and the amazing people that we meet. So I talked before about the camaraderie within the military. That is alive and well in campgrounds as well, the camaraderie and the help that people and support people give each other in campgrounds is just beautiful. It really is. So we've just gone into our 10th year on the road, and no, in case you're wondering, we're not sick of it.
No, my question was going to be, do you often turn up to campsites and see the same old people? Like, I mean, do you see they follow you around? You think, oh, shit, can't get away from that person.
So we often we will recognize each other's vehicles, the rig, before we recognize us. So there might be something particular about the tow vehicle or the caravan that so our tow vehicle, everyone calls it the pie truck because it's a Hilux with a big camping box on the back, and it's actually got Dunnerunner across the back, so it's quite distinctive. And only last week we were in a place called Esk, or the week before, Esk in here in Queensland, and this fella came over and said, I came across you guys on Bribie Island about 3 years ago. Because he recognised the truck.
So, Maria, tell us the worst thing that's happened in the last 10 years on the road and the funniest thing that's happened on the road in the last 10 years, or the best thing.
So the worst thing, I'll start with the worst thing that happened with Brad and I, is Brad had a major stroke 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
We were in country Victoria and we were house sitting, and he was rushed to Royal Melbourne Hospital. He had a full right side paralysis, lost his speech and couldn't walk. So that was pretty horrendous. So we're off the road for 6 weeks. We stayed with my brother-in-law in Melbourne while he recovered. He's made probably a 95% recovery, and he's doing really well. So that would be the worst. The best thing that's happened, the most exciting experience we've had was probably swimming with the whale sharks in the Ningaloo Reef off Exmouth in WA. That was probably, I'd say that would be the highlight of everything we've done on the road. We've done a lot of great things, but that was right up there.
That's on my bucket list for this year for my wife's 50th birthday. We're planning on going to Ningaloo.
Just amazing.
It used to be a secret gem. Because everyone knew the Great Barrier Reef, but no one really knew the Ningaloo Reef. But it's become really popular in the last few years, hasn't it?
It has indeed.
Yeah, particularly with our crowd, the travelling public, we've all there's a lot of people. Another thing we did was we flew up to Horizontal Falls from Derby. Have you heard of the Horizontal Falls?
No, tell us.
So it's one of the wonders of the world, and
wow. Never heard of it.
David Attenborough describes it as one of the most incredible things he's ever seen. So you fly up there from either Broome or Derby. We flew from Derby and we stayed in a pontoon overnight, and they take you on these fast boats through these what they call a horizontal falls, and you feel like you're actually in the spin cycle of a washing machine. That's how rapid this thing is. But it was just incredible, absolutely incredible. And that's even more remote because that's sort of right up the top of WA, and you can only get there by seaplane.
Sorry, I don't understand why do they call them horizontal falls?
Because of the way the tide is.
Yes.
I don't know exactly how it all works, but it's something to do with the tide. And you can only go through these cliff faces all around, and you go through this gap in these in this section, and the water is so rapid that they say that they're actual horizontal falls. How fast the water's
running.
Right.
Yeah, I see.
I got it. Okay. Wow. Well, that would have been amazing.
It really was, and we stayed overnight up there. So you sleep on the pontoon. They have. These particular sharks come in for feeding, and you get to witness all that. They take you on this other little boat, and you cruise around all the estuaries and look out for crocs and things like that. But that was an incredible experience, worth looking into, George, if you want something else to do.
Oh, absolutely. While you're over there. Absolutely. Yeah. What do they use as feed for the sharks and the crocs?
Just people's fingers and things like that.
Right, Americans. That was the old joke.
The problem with George going up to Ningaloo and swimming with the whale sharks is they might try and push him back out. You know, like,
no, they'll accept me as a lost member of the family.
That's right.
And I,
And you have lost your member, right?
Oh, a long time ago.
So Maria, the other thing that just sprung to mind was, you would have seen most of the big things in Australia, like the big banana and the big yada yada. So what's the best big thing on the road?
Did you map them all out, Maria? Did you?
No.
So can you rattle off a few lesser known ones?
There's a big mango up North Queensland. It's just this big mango just out in the middle of nowhere.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. There's the big merino, of course, in Goulburn.
Of course, everyone knows that.
We know that one.
With its
biggest, the big dag hanging off the back.
Yeah. we've just got the big everything. There's some huge, massive statues just out in the middle of nowhere, and you come across them and you go, what are these things doing out here? You know, we do like our big structures. And of course, you know, there's big pineapple, big banana, there's a big in Kingston, the big lobster or the big prawn or something in South Australia. What else? Oh, they're everywhere. They're everywhere, these things. And I don't know why we're so intrigued by them. I certainly am not.
No, neither am I. But I guess they're a landmark. I guess you can point your compass. You can work your compass off them. But what's the weirdest thing you've seen?
The weirdest thing I've seen in a campground was.
Oh no! Let's not go there. Because after
that's
a few
where
drinks,
she, that's where she
after
saw
a few
the
drinks.
That's where she saw the big
a lot of weird
dick
stuff going right? on.
There's a lot of those in the camping grounds.
No, we're in Tasmania, and
it gets better.
and a bloke pulled in with a pop top caravan, and he was towing it with a Jag, which is unusual in itself because no one ever tows with a car like that. Everyone's got, you know, four wheel drives. Anyway, he pops the roof of the pop top and gets this chimney flue out of the boot of the car. He had an open fire in his caravan. Inside the caravan, he had one of those wood heater things.
Oh,
in the
that's
caravan.
Hilarious!
Yeah,
oh,
so that was rather unusual. You've never seen that before.
I have to say that's ingenious. Obviously, he went to some pretty cold places. He didn't want to stand outside.
Yeah, well. We were in a very cold place and we were free camping, so there was no we couldn't plug into power.
Oh, that's what free camping means. It's not doesn't mean get your clothes off.
So that's not where the
wander around or anything.
So that's
like
not
that.
Where the big dick would be, right? it'd be the small dick.
Yeah,
sorry,
on,
I don't know. I don't know where serious? Am I going today? Yeah. I've lost my mind.
how old are you? How old are you?
Well,
seriously.
You know, fart jokes and bum jokes and that are always, you know, high on my priority list for, you know,
fits I know. My... Maria, you've obviously seen and heard everything. You, after all, you did hang out with military people.
Exactly.
So you would have.
That's right.
You're used to people like Brett, if not worse.
Not much shocks me.
I didn't think so.
George.
No, you go.
Okay.
You go.
So the book's out now, is it, Maria?
It is, yes.
And people can buy it in most of those great places. Is it on Amazon?
It is on Amazon. So if you search my author name, which is Maria Augustus Dunn, or you can do a search by Dunna Runner. So it's Dunna Runner. Dunna Runner.
Yep.
All one word. And yes, it's on Amazon Australia, or you can go to Indie Mosh's website and purchase through there.
Fantastic. So what's next on the agenda? So apart from heading south of the border, have you got any other books in mind?
Oh, yeah, Done and Dusted.
Done and Dusted. No, that's on the on your tombstone, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, whilst we're speaking of that, have you prepped for that, like with a saying on your tombstone? Have you thought of one?
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
Hi, it's Gino from Bondi Broker. In today's changing times, the importance of health and financial security has never been more important. At Bondi Broker, we work with you to improve your financial security by offering free financial health checks, assisting in reducing your debt, and gain competitive rates to improve your cash flow. Bondi Broker gets you in the best financial health so you can focus on what matters most. Visit our website today for your free consultation at bondibroker.com.au.
No.
Too far. That's too far in the future. I always think of...
That's too depressing.
Don't worry. Whoever goes first is going to be towed out the back on a kind of, in a coffin on wheels. I'm sure. Just keep travelling.
That's it. Well, we've always said if something happens to one of us, the other one's just going to keep going. So, we're just going to keep travelling.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you've got many more years of travel ahead of you.
But it's a fair question. It's a fair question. You've travelled for 10 years. You've been a travelling Wilbury, and it's a nomadic lifestyle. Where do people choose to get buried when?
Now that is a good question.
Where would you choose to get buried?
Well, we're not choosing to be buried. We're going to be cremated.
You're going to turn into toasties. Okay.
Yes. I honestly don't care. I've got no. Yeah. You know, whatever they do with my ashes, they do with my ashes.
Matter,
I couldn't
it?
Care less. No.
Right.
And both Brad and I feel the same about that. Yeah.
You know, my grandfather got burnt the other day.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm they don't muck around at the crematorium.
No. So, dad jokes aside,
I'm on a roll today.
If you were to have your ashes spread out somewhere, where would that place be?
Yeah.
I'd probably ask that my family decide that, they take some ashes, and Brad maybe spread it in a campground somewhere, you know, under a tree. I honestly don't care. I'm not going to be here for it, so who cares? No,
yeah, what does it matter?
You won't be feeling it. Won't be feeling it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Without a doubt.
So your book. Okay, we've talked about the book, but you need to, I mean, obviously every author makes guest appearances at bookshops and book launches and stuff like that. So how are you managing that with the backdrop of COVID as well?
Well, since my first book was published in 2017, I've done about 30 author talks. So we're
on Zoom.
No, in cafes, in libraries, RSLs, whoever will have me, really.
Sounds like George and I, where anybody that will have us will be there.
That's like our guest appearances. The last one was in front of two dogs and a cat.
The last one, we had to go back twice, the second time to apologise.
terrible. It's because of Brett, you know. He brings out the worst in me.
It's true.
So I was invited as part of the Darwin International Military Writers Festival 2 years ago. So flew up to Darwin and was part of the festival. I was a guest speaker there with all these other amazing authors and historians and public speakers. I felt like the suburban housewife in amongst the rock stars.
Oh, really? These people from all over the world, right? From military backgrounds, yeah?
Yeah, no, Australia. So journos and writers from within Australia. So Peter Fitzsimons was the guest speaker. He was the host of the event, and there was really well-known people there, and me.
Were you nervous?
Pardon?
Were you nervous?
No, you can't shut me up once I get up there.
I notice every now and then you'll make a comment on our Facebook page, which is much appreciated. We know you're still alive and still out there, and that's part of the reason why we thought we'd get you back on.
Oh, thank you so much. I love you guys. You guys, last time we spoke, I was under a tree. In our truck, I was thinking about this yesterday. If we were in Roma, because the place where we were staying, where we were camping, had no reception, so I had to drive into town and with my my phone and find somewhere with reception and sat under this tree and chatted to you both.
That's right. And just so you know, because I don't know if I've told you this, but your episode to date has had about 7,000 downloads.
Really?
Mm. Roughly.
Wow, that's
all those
really
Facebook
nice.
Friends you have.
or either that or you listening to it very often.
it's like how she gets rankings in the bookselling stakes, so she buys them all.
So
I knew an author who did that actually. He went out and bought 4,000 books of his own books. Yeah.
My goodness.
apparently you only have to get to 4,000 before you start ranking.
Is that right?
Is that right?
Oh, that right? I don't know. Well, Donna Runner was a bestseller on Amazon in the camps and parks and campground category.
You're up against stiff competition there, I bet.
It was still number one. I'll take that.
That's it. That's
take
a
it.
Win.
Take
that's
it, Maria. Win. Take it.
That's a win, Maria. That's a win.
Take the wins when you can.
It's like us with we were ranking like number, what was it, in some really odd country, wasn't it, George?
Number one in kind of like Georgia.
Some strange odd place where
wow.
We thought, Jesus, like that's really right wing American, you know.
Yeah, we were number one internationally, Maria.
Once for a week.
In one country.
And you take the win.
Of course. Even if it was in the land of Trumplers.
And can I just say thanks to you both for all your support. I really do appreciate it. Thank you with my books and everything. It's been, I love listening to you guys, and I really appreciate your support of everything that we do.
No, absolutely. We appreciate that you stay in touch and doing amazing things. You know, part of why we do this is amazing people's stories. And, you know, your story it's an inspirational story. You've chosen what you love and you're out there doing it. If nothing else, that's what everybody is on this planet for.
Well, we didn't want to get to a certain age and a certain stage of our life and say, I wish we had have done that, we should have done this, we should have done that. No, we want to do it all, and we want to do it all now. And that's why we retired at the age of 50 for a life on the road. We just want to experience everything. And, you know, in my retirement, I've done other, apart from writing the books, I've taught myself to read the tarot cards. So I'm a tarot card reader in markets and campgrounds. I've done stand-up comedy routine in a pub in Perth. Was something that I'd always wanted to do and try my hand at stand-up, and did that and loved it. I've done abseiling, bushwalking, whale sharks. And another big one is I've quit the booze, which we talked about in the last podcast.
How's that going for you?
So I'm now 8 years sober.
Wow.
Well
and done. If it wasn't for joining the website Hello Sunday Morning and taking control back, I wouldn't have achieved any of these things that I've been doing, and the books wouldn't have happened. So I credit Hello Sunday Morning to all my success in my finally I woke up at the age of 51 and said I have to do something about this.
Well done.
Well done, Maria. Look, as an aside, do you have your tarot cards there nearby?
I have.
Oh, would you like to give us a
quick reading about George or about Float Your Boat?
I don't know. How would it work? Does it work over Zoom? Does it work over a Zoom video? Do you have to see people physically or?
You have to actually choose a card, and I can read the. Would you like me to get my card?
Can I reach in and grab it?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's give it a go to see if it if you're all.
Well, you know, what did Buddha say to the hot dog vendor?
Don't know.
Make me one with everything. Sorry. Well, you know.
Well, that's one I haven't heard before, I got to say. So, geez, you come up with pearlers, honestly. But you love this stuff, right? You love numerology, tarot,
astrology. Know. Give it all to me. I say, even if
so
it's
what
all,
I can do.
Yeah, she's back.
So there's here's the cards.
Yep. Hold on, I reach out and the listeners can't see, but I've just reached out all the way to Woomba.
I'll choose a card for you.
Yep.
Yeah. So we think extreme left.
Oh, good on you. And I'll tell you why in a sec.
Yeah.
So extreme left. All right. So four of hearts you've got.
Yep. Okay. Now.
And I'm just going to read you.
Maria, I've been told that I don't have a heart. I've been told that in the past.
By your wife.
And others.
So you've lost your member and your heart.
Oh.
You're like the Tin Man, George. Was it the Tin Man that didn't have a heart?
He didn't have a heart, yes. Yeah. He didn't have a heart.
So Four of Hearts is all about reevaluation. You need to reevaluate your situation. If you are bored or dissatisfied with the status quo, avoid distractions and examine your heart of hearts to gain clarity. Crying over spilt milk or saying, I told you so, won't help.
Okay, George, that was you because you picked far left and no, that is so close.
How good is that? That is.
I got to tell you, Maria, that's pretty bloody close to what's going on for George at the moment. Now, let me pick a card.
Yep.
I'm going to go center.
Center. All right. All right. So you've got the Prince of Pentacles. So I'm just going to look up the meaning of the Prince of Pentacles for you.
Awesome. I always knew I was royalty. Prince of Pentacles.
Yeah.
What are Pentacles? Five what? Five.
So the Prince of Pentacles is reliability. You need to help implement a new business idea. Be trustworthy, reliable, and a good provider. Speak seriously. Well, there you go. You need to speak seriously, Brett.
Uh-oh.
And only if you have something to say. Beware of being preoccupied with gain and possessions.
Well, there you go. That's pretty close as well.
That's pretty good.
George and I have been talking about Float Your Boat and anyway, that both of those were pretty bloody accurate, weren't they, George?
Well, there you go.
Yeah. You're worth the money we're paying you.
Yeah. So Maria, just give us some taglines for your contact. So how do people contact you? If they want to talk.
So I'm available. I have a Facebook page. So yep. It's Maria Augustus Dunn, author. Yep. So Augustus is AUGUSTUS-Dunn, DUNN. Yep. I'm also on Instagram. So it's Maria _Augustus_Dunn, author,
yep.
I think. The books are available, as I said, through the Indie Mosh website, through Big Sky Publishing for Married Quarter,
yep.
And also through Amazon. Both of them are available on Amazon, and both of them are doing really, really well.
Yeah, that's terrific.
So, Maria, yeah. All I can say is you've done well.
Yeah, done Thank good. You.
Done very well.
Well, that's the title of your next book. Yep. Done good.
Done well. Done good.
Then yep. Done and dusted. Yep. Maria, well, one more thing before we go, though, because yes. you remember when you came on the first time, we asked you, well, to pick a song. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So this time around, don't pick the same song, but something that inspires you, something that moves you, and tell us why.
I can't even remember what I picked last time. What song would I pick? Probably...
the one you sing to Brad at night.
No. I still haven't found what I'm looking for by you two.
Okay.
Yeah. I have found what I'm looking for, but I'm always still searching for something else. Something more exciting, something to challenge me, and something fun. Yeah.
Maria Dunn, you are an inspiration to people out there to go out and do what they want to do in their life, whatever the mate floats their boat or yep. your boat, that's what people should be doing, and that's what you're doing, and I applaud you for that.
Oh, thank you so much, Brett. Thanks, George.
Thank you, Maria.
Really you're, lovely to talk you're to beautiful. You both.
Come back to us when you've got the next one up.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
See you, Maria.
Lovely to see you.
Love Bye-bye. You guys. Bye. Bye.